Hey.
Okay, Shavuot Tov. Good to see you guys. You have a little Motzei Shabbos learning. It's good. I think since Isaac has shaychus to Horna Stipel and the Horna Stipel Rebbes and things like that, I think the Tolna Rebbe, who somehow Isaac will tell us, is shaykh to the Horna Stipel Tversky dynasty. The Tolna Rebbe in Yerushalayim, I think, gives a Motzei Shabbos shir called Chamin B'Motzei Shabbos. He prints for him every year. They're based on his drushos on Friday, on Motzei Shabbos. So, I'm not the Tolna Rebbe, but it'd be great if we can do this every Motzei Shabbos. So we'll see what happens. I don't think there's whatever, we'll get there. I don't know if there's too much going on. So maybe this can continue. I think it'd be great. So I'm going to share a screen. Hopefully this works. Everybody with me?
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. Okay, so what I want to do tonight... I was trying, it didn't work out in school on Friday just because of timing and things like that. And I'm sorry we don't have the Makoros in front of us, so we'll just use the screen. But I wanted to go through a couple different approaches and maybe a couple different ideas to take away from the interaction between Yaakov and the Saro Shel Esav. Okay, I'm just going to grab Chumash 1 second. Bear with me. Thank you. Okay. So let's get going. So towards the very beginning, not the very, very beginning, but in Perek Lamed Beis, the Torah tells us the following. It's the end of the second Aliyah that we read earlier today. Right? So we know that Yaakov and the Saro Shel Esav get into a certain fight, a wrestling match, whatever you want to call it. Vayishal Yaakov, Vayomer, Higidin Ashemecha, what's your name? Vayomer, Lama Zet Tishalishmi, why are you asking this to me? Vayivarech Oso Sham, and he gave him a bracha. It's kind of a funky back and forth. What's your name? Why do you want to know? Here's your bracha. Get away from me. Right? So if you take a look at the fifth line over here, this is from Rav Avram Shor in his Sefer Halakach V'Halibov. So he quotes Rashi. Rashi mevi divrei chazal, ki shemos hamalachim mishtanem al shem hashlichos. That the name of every single malach, it changes. It's determined based on whatever shlichos, whatever mission it has at the given time. L'chein amar hamalach lamazeh tishalishmi. Why are you asking my name? Meaning, my name is irrelevant, it's immaterial, and it's not constant. Why? Because it's always changing. So if you look at the Sifrei Moser, they give us an idea with regards to the Yetzer Hara writ large. There's no specific name for the Yetzer Hara. What's a dimyon? You guys are all on mute, so feel free to unmute yourselves and jump in.
Imagination?
Yeah, very good. So the Yetzer Hara b'chlal is just imagination. The way the Sefer Orchos HaTzadikim explains it, and he is, I guess, one of the Sifrei Moser, but he gives the mashal of, you ever sit on like a hammock or under the tree on a shady, but you're in the shade, but it's a very sunny summer day, and the rays of light kind of shine through, and they look beautiful, they look captivating, you know, it's very pleasing, and you reach your hand out to grab it, and it's nothing, you can't grab it, it's not tangible. So he says, that's what the Yetzer Hara is, it's something that looks beautiful, you want it, and once you think you attain it, you realize it's nothing. So he says, if you look at the left-hand column, ki be'emes ein lo ma limkor. The Yetzer Hara really has nothing to sell you. Mikol mitzi'uso hu ki ein lo be'emes mitzi'us. And its whole essence, it's like a funny line, but its entire essence is that it's really nothing. What does this mean? So he gives a mashal. Yadua ha-mashal ki Yetzer Hara hu kimo shemesachkim im hayelad. Maybe you have younger... I don't know if anybody has a baby sibling. I don't think anybody in the Zoom has a baby sibling, but maybe nieces, nephews. Are we there yet? Not yet. Mirz Hashem. Zeke, God willing, in January. Be'ezus Hashem. Habalein Latova. B'shatova Metzlachas. Okay, but you know this. If you've been a group leader, if you've interacted with little kids, right? So he gives the mashal. Umarim lo yad sigur. You show the little child your hand, a closed fist. Kilu yesh mashu biyad, as if there's something in your hand. V'hayelad rotza luftoach hayad v'likach adavar. And the kid wants to open up your hand. And you say, no, you can't have it. And the child chases after you, trying to get what's in your hand. The desire and this passion that this child has, misgaber yoser v'yoser, it gets more intense. There's nothing in your hand. The Yetzer Hara is the same thing. He has this closed hand. Ooh, it looks really nice. It's really you know, tantalizing, it's engaging, you want it so bad. As if whatever that temptation is worthwhile. And we chase after that yitzhara kol yamav. Literally, people spend their days, their weeks, their money, their life savings on certain yitzharas. Lahasig mashiish lo limkor, to get that, to attain that thing. Ulbasof adam roa, ki be'emes hayayado shel hayitzer reik mi kol davar. It's completely, completely empty. We chase after nothingness. So how does this relate to this week's parsha? So check out this next paragraph. Chazal write in the Medrash, Ma sha'amar hamalach shalcheni ki Allah hashachar. Send me, why? Because the time has come. I have to sing shira. What does this mean? Shamalach amar higi izmani lomar shira. It's my time to sing shira. Ba'avodas Yisrael mefarish b'shem ba'al ula sachodesh. Avodas Yisrael. Anybody here know what the sefer Avodas Yisrael is? No, so Avodas Yisrael is written by the Kuznetzer Magid. Anybody ever hear that? The Kuznetzer Magid?
Yeah.
Isaac. Okay, good. So the Kuznetzer Magid, one of the earlier Hasidic Rebbe's, a beautiful sefer Avodas Yisrael. It's a relatively small sefer, not so overwhelming. So he says the following idea. She'in ha'kavana ki tamid amar shira ba'alos ha'shachar. I thought my entire life, until I saw this idea, or until I heard it last year, that malachim sing shira every single day to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it turns out, apparently, at least according to the Sefer Olas HaChodesh that he's quoting, that it's not so. Rak inyan shiras ha'malachu be'is she'gomer shlichuso. A malach only sings shira when he completes his mission. So now, who are we dealing with here? He was wrestling with Saro Shel Esav. He gives mano lomar shira achshav, and only now is his time to sing shira. What happened just now? What happened?
He completed the task.
What was his task? It's kind of funny. What happened, though? What did he just do? Who beat him?
He wrestled Yaakov.
Oh, he wrestled Yaakov, right? But didn't Yaakov win? So what's pshat? That's his task? So look at the line. He says, Ki b'zeh haregash Yaakov Vino hayelo nitzachon al malach. Yaakov Vino just beat the malach. Az nigmar shlich l'shel malach, like you guys just explained. But it's kind of funny. What does that mean? I would have thought his task is beating Yaakov Avinu, not losing to Yaakov Avinu. But he's going to go back to Shemayim and, like, you know, slump in and he's like, I take a loss, you know? And that's his shira? Like, well, how does it make sense? What's going on? So we quote from the Zohar HaKadosh, who says the following, Shemavar Inyan HaYetzah Hara. The Zohar tells us what really is the Yetzah Hara, and this is a super important lesson, Chevro, just to contextualize and understand the Yetzah Hara. And I think when we have this newfound understanding of what the Yetzah Hara is and tries to do to us, it will be a little bit easier, hopefully, to embrace those challenges and hopefully overcome them. You have a prince who leaves the kingdom, right, to go, either he's governing in another country, or he's doing his thing, whatever it may be. But the king wants to know if his son still acts and carries himself with a sense of dignity, and a sense of pride, and royalty. Not only that, but is he trustworthy vis-a-vis his father, the king? So the melech sends someone to him to seduce him. I don't know if that means in a sexual manner, or it could just be in a financial manner, or it could just be get into, you know, slimy business. The shliach really doesn't want the kid, this prince, to give in. Really, this shliach wants the prince to be misgaber, to overcome, to not give in to the seduction, to the offer that he's making him. The same thing is true, the Yetzer Hara, his shlichus is to try to get us to trip up. His ultimate goal is what? Not for him to be successful. Rather, a person should be successful, a person should be victorious. A person shouldn't listen to him. And this is it, Chevra. The tachlis of the Yetzer Hara, who needs sachon ha'adam negdo, is really for the person to overcome. So now if you think about it, what's the job of the Yetzer Hara? The job of the Yetzer Hara is to try to get us to slip up. But when is the Yetzer Hara successful? Only when what?
When he loses.
Only when he loses. V'yachshav, be'ez shi Yaakov avinu nit'abek imo. And only now, once Yaakov Avinu wrestles with him, so bezeh hamilchama hachveda, harei higia hamalach letachli, so higia zmano lomar shir. Only then does the malach go up to Shemayim and sing shir, because finally Yaakov overcame him. And this is why, he says in the next paragraph, he quotes from the Rebbe Rabbonim of Prashischa, that if you take Yaakov, which if I'm not mistaken, is 182 in Gematria, with Satan, as the Midrashim point out, the Avodas Yisrael, the Kuznetzer points out, that the Saros Ha'isov was the Yetzer Hara, which was the Satan. It's all the same Inyan or Malach, whatever you want to call it. If you take Yaakov plus Satan, Satan is 359, you put that together, you get Yisrael. Same exact Gematria as the name Yisrael. What's Pshat? So he explains that Yaakov needed to overcome this Yetzer Hara to become Yisrael. And I think that's a very powerful idea. And I know we're learning Maseches Kedushin this year. You guys are all seniors, but in the 11th grade shiur that I teach, we started from Daf Chav Tes. And there's a well-known Gemara, and Daf Lamed Amud Beis, that talks about HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us with the Yetzer Hara, and He created us with the Torah. And the Torah is the antidote to the Yetzer Hara. But many explain that we're not supposed to totally rid ourselves of a Yetzer Hara. Rather, we are supposed to rule over it in the sense that we're able to use those drives and that passion and that hislavos and channel it for Avodas Hashem. So again, that's the first idea that we can see from this wrestling match, so to speak, between Yaakov Avinu and the Saros Esav. And I think, it gives us an insight into the Yetzer Hara. And when we struggle with a certain Yetzer Hara, it's kedai to sometimes just pause and take a step back. And think just objectively. Again, it's always hard when you're in the moment to think objectively, obviously. But if we talk about it, you know, beforehand, like Mesias Sharm talks about, when we talk about it beforehand, then once we're in it, it's a little bit easier, right? But the idea is, when we're in the middle, when we're struggling with something, if you realize that the Yetzer Hara really doesn't even want you to do it. Deep down, he wants you to be successful, right? And I think that helps us give us a little bit of a different mindset vis-a-vis that specific Yetzer Hara, and hopefully that'll help us be miskaber. So that's idea number one. Idea number two is actually from a Haggadah. This is the Haggadah called Teferes Shimshon from Rav Shimshon Pinkus. Any guys ever hear of Shimshon Pinkus or Shimshon Pinkus?
Yeah, I think so. I think Yaakov Breyer brought back a Sefer.
Oh, okay.
It's on Shabbos.
Okay, so he has a Sefer on Shabbos called Shabbos Malkasa.
Yeah.
I would say probably his most well-known Sefer is Sha'arim B'Tfila. Ever guys ever hear that? Gates of Tfila, Gates of Prayer, I think they translated it into English. Sha'arim B'Tfila, it's a fantastic Sefer on Tfila. So he has a Haggadah, Teferes Shimshon, Haggadah Shal Pesach. And I saw this idea a couple of years ago in the Haggadah, and I put in my notes for Parshas Vayishlach, because it's a really beautiful idea. We have the idea, V'hi sha'am de'la avosinu v'lanu, shelo echad bilvad amar aleinu l'chal osinu, ela Shebechol d'avador omdim aleinu l'chal osinu. Zeke will sing us the Yonatan Rizal song later on, right? V'akadosh baruch hu matzi leinu miyadam. Beautiful, right? And you guys all Hilo Torah chever, right? Everybody here went to Hilo Torah? So then you guys all for Shteitzach know the Sfas Emes that Rabbi Liptak quotes every single year. What's the Vart Rabbi Liptak likes to say on this? Nobody's unmuting it, so I'll say it. Shelo echad bilvad amar aleinu l'chal osinu. Only when we're not one can they stand up and get us. But if we have that sense of achdus, we have that sense of unity and togetherness, so then no one can stand up. Sfas Emes. I think he puts the comma, as Rebbes tend to do, put it in a little bit of a different place and give us a new, a beautiful idea. But Rav Pinkus has a different vart on this whole entire thing. He quotes the Gra. We'll just read from where it's underlined. HaTorah chozeret al atzim v'chol dor v'dor. The Torah repeats itself. Every single generation, everything happens again. From the big things to the little things, everything happens again and again and again. And if you see, just look in the bottom paragraph here, Yesod ze limanu shlomo melech. We already see this from a pasuk in Koheles. Ma shehaya hu sheyehe ve'in kol chodesh tachas ha-shemesh. Meaning that whatever happened in the past is what's going to be in the future. There's nothing new. The world competes itself. History repeats itself. Ma shehaya ba'avar hu gam ma sheyehe ba'atid. Ha-historia chozeret alatzma. History repeats itself. So he says like this. In every single generation, there have been people who tried to stand up and wipe out the Jewish people. Nimrod, Esav, Bilam, v'chulei. And if you go into Nach, there have also been tzaddikim. There have been individuals who've stood up for the Jewish people. Whether it was Moshe Rabbeinu, Yeshua, Ezra HaSofer, Esther, Mordechai, v'chulei. Right? Every single generation, there have been people who stood up to kill us. And there have been people who stood up and saved us. There have been leaders that we can look up to for chizuk, for hadracha, and they kind of help us out. If you turn the next page on page Kuf, I think it's Kuf Gimel, although it could be Kuf Nun, the photocopy is not super clear. Habaya shalanu hi shalapamim hametzius behove nirit bechitzoniusa shonu ma'admi metzius avar. When you're in it, the reality of things, the way it looks to us, is it's totally different. Right? Sometimes you read through Tanakh, it's so inspiring, certain things happen, you read certain stories in the Gemara, it's like, wow, they were able to accomplish amazing things, they had Ruach HaKodesh, we're totally not on that level. How could it be? He says, however, it's totally, totally the same. Even though it looks different, we're in 2020, things are different, everything is still exactly the same. How could it be? So take a look. B'inyan zeh, where it started, b'inyan zeh shemati pshat nifla b'posuk me'hatorah. He says, I heard a beautiful pshat from the Torah, Kashir Yaakov, from this week's parsha, what we read earlier today, Kashir Yaakov avinu nebak im saro shel Esav. When Yaakov avinu wrestled with saro shel Esav, shel Yaakov esam malach. So again, this is in Pasuk Lamed here. He says to him, what's your name? Ve'yishol Yaakov, ayomar higidin ha-shemecha, tell me your name. Ana lo saro shel Esav, but Esav's malach says to him, lama zeh tishalish me, why are you asking my name? So says Rashi, Ein lanu shem kavu, as we already said, we don't have a specific name. Mishnanim shmosenu. Our names change. Hakol lefi mitzvas avodas hashlich sha'anu mishdalchim. Every single thing changes. Excuse me. Our names change based on each and every one of our missions. Lamalachim ein shem kavua. But what does he give Yaakov Avinu? What does he tell Yaakov Avinu? We know that your name is no longer going to be what? Your name is no longer Vayomer lo Yaakov ye omer od shimcha. Kiim Yisrael, your name is Yaakov. Ledore Doros. Chevra, what are we? We are Jews. We're Bnei Yisrael. We're Klal Yisrael. The name Yisrael sticks. Ledore Doros. So here's the beautiful part. Lesaros shel Esav, shebe'etzem hu samal in shem kavua. The Saros shel Esav, which is really the Yitzhara, the Satan, this force that's trying to get us to slip up, there is no shem kavua. It doesn't have a set name. Why? Shimo Mishtana Kolzman Lafiyat Tekufa Hazman, because his name is constantly changing. The Yetzir Haras are totally different. Pam Karolo Avodah Zarah. Once upon a time, the things they struggled with was Avodah Zarah. I think you guys were learning maybe even in Mrs. Friedman's class a few years ago, and the question came up, why is it that constantly in Tanakh, the Nevi'im are always telling Bnei Yisrael not to worship Avodah Zarah, and we're thinking they're crazy. Baal Pa'or is the most messed up thing in the entire world. How can a person have a taiva to be Ovid Baal Pa'or, to go to the bathroom in front? It doesn't make any sense to us. But Lamaisa, that's what it was. Ad shen neshchat hayetzer shel Avodah Zarah, until Hashem got rid of the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah. La'achar mikan karulo philosophia, right? There was this notion of philosophy, right? We know the enlightenment, the Haskalah. There is communism, right? The things that I struggled with in high school, the Yetzer Haras that were tempting kids when I was in high school, you guys would laugh at. And the things that it's ever evolving. It's never, it doesn't have a shem kavua. Aval, smack in the middle of the paragraph. Aval, omer ha-malach li-Yaakov, but Yaakov tells the malach what? L'cha korim Yaakov v'Yisrael, v'shem zeh lo yishtan v'lo yuchlav lo'olam. The name, Yisrael. And what's Yisrael? Ki sarisa, that you struggled, v'atuchal, the Pasuk says, that you're able to overcome. Ki sarisa im elokim, v'im anashim, v'atuchal, that you struggled with, you wrestled, and you overcame, you prevailed. So that is your name. So the Yetzer Hara changes from every single generation. He says, I don't have a shem kavua, because that's goof of the point. I am the Yetzer Hara, and whatever I need to do, whatever way I need to kind of mask myself to try to ensnare Jewish people, to get us off track, to get us not thinking about a Kadosh Baruch Hu and Avodas Hashem, that's what I'm going to do. But what's the Yetzer Hara tell us? He gives us a secret. He says, Chevra, don't forget though that you're Yisrael, that we have that. We have that shem kavua, and that we're always going to be able to overcome. Kach u'shmam shel banov ad etzem hayom hazeh, until this day, ve'in efsharus lahachlifa lefi matzav hatkufa. Doesn't matter what's going on, we can never lose that shem Yisrael, that we'll always be Bnei Yisrael. So he says, lemanu mikan so nif mufla. Let's read the bottom paragraph. Hayetzer hara shel hayom hu oso yetzer hara shel pa'am. Ela shmo hishtane. The yetzer hara that we have is the exact same yetzer hara that was. Ach b'mehusa hu nishar oso davar b'duyok. It's the same exact thing. Aleinu lehisponin hitiv lahakir as yetzer hara. We have to pay attention and recognize the yetzer hara. Hasitra achra shel dorenu. We have to know what the yetzer hara is that we struggle with. right? If we can't identify it, if we can't name the monster, if we can't name the beast, then we're never going to be able to overcome it. We have to be honest with ourselves. Ki im lo naskil lizahut oto. If we're not able to identify it, bizman hu ala lisrov es kol beis Yisrael rachman al atzlan. If we're not able to recognize it, or we're not able to name it, so then we're going to fall prey to it. Chas v'shalom. Kefi she'asa zos b'tikufas ha'askala v'akamunism. Just like people fell rachman al atzlan to the enlightenment, to communism, we have to recognize what the Yetzer Hara is. That is the goal, right? Yaakov Avinu was able to identify that Yetzer Hara. Is he able to identify Saro Shel Esav? And only once he was able to identify it, then he was able, Vayivaser Yaakov Levado, then he went by himself to take it head on, and then he was able to wrestle with it. So that's idea number two. So idea number one, we spoke about from Rav Avram Shor, to recognize that the Yetzer Hara is really on our side. He's trying to get us to slip up, but ultimately he does not want he doesn't want us to slip up. He wants us to be successful. Idea number two from Pincus is to recognize that the Yetzer Hara is ever changing, ever evolving. It'll be different. It could be different tomorrow, and it could be different, you know, next Erev Shabbos. But the point is, we are always the same. We are Bnei Yisrael. We have to recognize that we have the koach to overcome the Yetzer Hara as well, as long as we recognize it. That's idea number two. Idea number three.
Wait, real quick.
Yeah.
So before I forget. So last year I was in Miss Begonis' class for Navi, I'm learning Yirmiyahu.
Yeah.
And so a big theme was Yirmiyahu rebuking for Avodah Zarah. And she said to my class, like, guys, if you're wondering why Bnei Yisrael struggles so much with Avodah Zarah and, like, you can't relate to it at all, it's because, like you just said, Avodah Zarah changes over time and the Yetzer Hara changes over time. And then, according to her, I don't know, I think she said she heard it from someone, but she's not sure who.
Yeah.
The Yetzer Hara for us nowadays is Lashon Hara.
Cool. Okay. I hear that. I totally hear that. Did you guys do, what's it called? Chavetz Chaim Daily with Rabbi Kurtz? Or no?
I wasn't in that class.
You weren't in the class. Okay.
Yeah.
You guys were. It's important.
Year we did.
It's definitely a big time Yetzer Hara. I'm with you completely. Okay. Let's go to the third one. Yaakov. This is from a Sefer. Excuse me. Let me quote who I'm quoting. Let me tell you who I'm quoting. From the Sefer Kovet Tzichos, which is a collection of, I guess, shmuzes. This is from the Rashi, not the Rashi, but the Mashkiach in the Lakewood Yeshiva. The current Mashkiach is Rav Matisyahu Salomon Shlita. He should have a Refuah Shleima. He's not doing so well now. But the previous Mashkiach was Rav Nosson Meyer Wachtvogel. Rav Nosson Meyer Wachtvogel. He has very sharp insights. I have some of his other random svarim put out like small little volumes of his Torahs. I was actually learning with a kid once from Ida Crown, and I had him try to read. It says on the front of the Sefer, it says, Mashkiach di Yeshivas, Lamed Yud Yud Kof, right? It says Lakewood in Hebrew. I said, you know what this is? And he said, was that Lakeview? I'm like, no, Lakewood. They're a little different, Lakewood and Lakeview. But either way, okay, I thought that was a cute line. So he has really beautiful Torah. So check out this thought here. He says, Tzrichin Lahavin, he says, Ma'ayin Haya Lo HaKoach L'Natzeach Samalach. He says, where in the world did Yaakov get the Koach to wrestle this angel? Halo hamalach kochol rav ich yachol ben adam liskaber alav. Right, we think about a malach, again how we picture a malach. The Gemara in Sukkah talks about how it has six wings. Right, we think of angels have two wings, but really the Gemara talks about what angels look like. But nevertheless, right, they didn't have a physical wrestling match. At least it doesn't seem like an angel's spiritual. It's not a physical thing. So how could it be that Yaakov Avinu was able to overcome him? Yaakov was a ben adam, baser v'dam. How could he, you know, overpower, let's say, this malach? Yeshivar shalpi ha'yesod asher yasad Rabbeinu Yona. Rabbeinu Yona has a super important yesod based on the Mishnah in Avos. Im ein anili mili. Im ha'adam lo ye'orer nafsho. If a person is not ma'orer himself. What's ma'orer mean, chevra?
Awaken.
We say this in Kabbalah Shabbos. Right? If a person doesn't awaken himself, a person doesn't inspire himself, a person doesn't motivate himself, so lo yo ilu kol divrei tocha v'divrei chizuk sheshomea sheikr tolei ba'adam atzmo v'lo bezulaso. Super important line, chevra. Rav Vogel says, quoting Rabbeinu Yonah, that a person, it doesn't matter all the words of motivation, encouragement, inspiration, it doesn't matter what you listen to. You can listen to the Torah any times. You can listen to, you know, those little WhatsApp videos that everybody sends out, Rav Meilach Biederman, right? I know some of you guys like that stuff. The idea is you can listen to every single video you want. At the end of the day, you are the one who is going to perform the actions. And if you don't move yourself to actions, if we don't move ourselves to actions, so it doesn't matter what we listen to, what we hear, what our rabbin, what our friends, what our teachers tell us, it's not going to be effective. We have to be the ones who take achrayas for ourselves. Im ha'adam me'orer atzmo, az yo'ilu divrei ha'moser. Once we stir ourselves and we move ourselves to action, so then all those words of chizuk, all those words of musr, all the shiurim, all the shmuzes, all the encouragement, motivation that we hear, then it'll be that much more inspiring. But it needs to be that we're the ones moving and making something happen first. And that's why he points out, the pasuk says, "Vayivaser Yaakov livado," that Yaakov Avinu went by himself. It was all him. He said, "I need to do this on my own." I want to show you an amazing Torah from Rav Sacks. Rav Sacks, I think this is in 5774, if I'm not mistaken, has an unbelievable Torah. I think it's titled, let me open it up for you guys. It's called Thyself, Parshas Vayishlach. And he talks about this idea, the struggle that Yaakov Avinu had with this malach. And he says there's a machlokas. You go through the different Maimari Chazal with the identity, trying to understand who this Sarah Shel Esav was. Was he a malach? Who was this person? So Sacks is an amazing idea. He said, we have to understand Yaakov's whole entire life. Who did Yaakov want to be more than anyone else? It's a wild line. More than anybody else, Yaakov Avinu wanted to be Esav. Whoa. What's that mean? What's pshat? He says, he was born holding on to Esav's heel. He bought Esav's bechorah. He bought the birthright. He stole Esav's brachos. And when his blind father asks him, says Rav Sacks, who he was, he said, I am Esav, your firstborn. Jacob was the child who wanted to be Esav, says Rav Sacks. An amazing, amazing line. And he says like this, there's something called, again, I don't really know what this means, but he quotes a certain anthropologist, and he quotes the term a mimetic desire, which means we want what someone else wants because we want to be that person. We want to be that someone else. It kind of maybe describes why people mimic what celebrities do, really, because they don't love that person. They wish they had the sort of fame and fortune that that person had. But that's, says Rav Sacks, perhaps what Yaakov Avinu was doing, and he grew up with this constant struggle and inner turmoil, wanting to be someone else. He wanted to be Esav. And says Rav Sacks, it was only when he went, Vayivaser Yaakov Levado, only when he went by himself and was able to look deep within and understand who he was as an individual and recognize, Levado, it's me. I have to be Yaakov. I can't be someone else. I shouldn't be someone else. It's not okay if I'm someone else. I have to be me because Hashem gave me my kochos. Only once he wrestled with that did he become Yaakov Avinu and did he become Yisrael. Right? It's an amazingly powerful idea. He had to be able to take a step back and be by himself and think, what am I trying to do in life? What am I trying to accomplish in life? And so often, we're with our friends and with our chevra and we're just doing things. And we're going through the motions. And we're trying to maybe even attain certain things. But do we stop to think, is that what I want? Is that what I should be doing? Is that what I ought to be doing? Where are my kochos? What is my skill set? What can I accomplish and how can I contribute to Klal Yisrael as a whole? And only once Yaakov Avinu struggled with this. Again, what was the Saro Shel Esav? Suggests Rav Sacks, it was Yaakov's desire to be Esav. It was that inner monster that he was struggling with. And only once he went, Vayivaser Yaakov Levado. Again, just like Rav Achpogel pointed out, only once he went by himself to recognize what that thing was and struggle and work and overcome, then he became who? Then he became Yisrael. Kisarisa, because he struggled with it. Vatuchal, and then he was able to overcome. But we have to be able to take that step back. Maybe not just a step back, but a step away from what's going on. And sit. I always encourage my students. I don't think any of you guys were ever actually in my shir. But I'm sure I've told you just through different chavrusas and whatever, chaburas and learnings that we've done together. But I always tell my students, at least once a week, drive without any music on. Drive without talking to anybody. Drive without AirPods or earphones in your ears. Just drive and think. And, you know, even better, take a walk. It's getting cold, but bundle up, I don't know. But I take a walk for 15 minutes just to think. It's super, super important. Think about what we're doing, what we're trying to accomplish, who we are, what do we need to work on. And I think maybe if we can add maybe a chassidish of art to just bring the idea home. There are many different interpretations to the word Yisrael. Really, it comes from kisarisa, because you struggled and you overcame and you worked hard. But I saw different interpretations. Some of the Farshim explained it comes from the word sar, like a dignitary, someone who's dignified, an officer, right? Yaakov became someone who was able to hold himself to a higher esteem through this struggle. Others point out it's from the word yashrus, to be straight. However, the Chassam Sofer says Yisrael is really from the word shira, a song. And I was thinking that really brings the point home. Because again, we also refer to the Torah as a song. The last mitzvah in the Torah, the 613th mitzvah in the Torah, is to write a Torah.
Shira Hazos.
Beautiful, but the Torah is not referred to as a Torah. It's referred to as a Shira. And why is it? So the Mefarshim explain that if you go hear an orchestra play, if there were 50 violinists, it wouldn't sound as beautiful. But if this orchestra is comprised of many, many individuals who all play their own instrument, and they contribute their voice or their sound, so that's what produces this beautiful symphony. It's the same exact thing. I think maybe this idea that we all have to recognize for ourselves, that Yevasser Yaakov Livado, only once we can realize, or only once we realize who we are and what our mission is in this world, and then we set forth on that path to accomplish it, so then we can really contribute our voice to the klal, right? Because B'nai Yisrael is only as good as the individuals. What are we producing? Not just on behalf of ourselves, but on behalf of Klal Yisrael. When we're able to do that, when we're able to contribute our voice to the whole, so then that's what makes up Knesset Yisrael. That's what makes B'nai Yisrael. And when we do that, so then we produce the most beautiful symphony. Okay? So I just want to quickly review what we did. Number one, we quoted Rav Shor, who spoke about how to understand, how to think about the Yetzer Hara. We think about it in a certain way, that he's really playing, he's on our team, he's on our side, and he wants us to be successful, he wants us to overcome him. That was idea number one. Idea number two was from Rav Pinkus' Haggadah, that the Yetzer Hara is ever-changing, but we have to remember that even though he's ever-changing, we are always going to be B'nai Yisrael. Hashem is always going to be on our side, he's always going to help us out. We just have to name the monster and recognize what we're up against. And that last idea, the third idea from Rav Achtvogel, from Sachs, is the way to kind of recognize that monster is by taking a step back, taking some time alone to think about who we are, what we're trying to accomplish. When we do that, we can be the best versions of ourselves and hopefully contribute in the most beautiful ways to Klal Yisrael. Thank you guys so much for spending some time with me on a Motzei Shabbos.